And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. About what God's going to do. How many like to have power in your life? All right? Well, we have something that is greater than nuclear power, greater than the power that fuels the space shuttle, greater than atomic power. We have resurrection power. It is the most powerful thing that God did on this earth. He overcame death. So I just want to talk to you tonight about resurrection power. All right? We're ready to have some resurrection power. We're going to make you a resurrection power shake. We're going to power you up tonight. Now, if you go home and someone sees you, you might glow. Isn't that what happened with Moses? He spent 40 days on Mount Sinai in the presence of God, and he came down. His face was glowing. They said, Moses, put a veil on your face. You know, just being in God's presence can change you. So you're ready to be changed tonight? All right.
I put my battery in backwards. My battery was good. Just my technique was wrong. Hallelujah. All right, we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're going to go down to verse 19. We're going to cut right in the middle of a prayer that Paul was praying for the church. We have anybody part of the church tonight? Amen. We're all part of the church, right? The called out ones. And he said, he's praying now, and he said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To usward, right? Now, God never uses adjectives lightly. When he can't just say power. He said the exceeding greatness. Now, if something is great, but this is exceeding great. The exceeding greatness of his power to us. Who? What? So to access this exceeding great power is simply to believe. To believe in God. To believe his word. According to the working. So this exceeding greatness of power is working. Oh, where is it working? In you and us. In you and I. It's working in us. This exceeding greatness of his power to everyone who believes is working. Aren't you glad you got power that's working? And there's not a power shortage. There's not going to be a blackout. And guess what? God's not going to send you a bill for his power. You don't have to pay a monthly bill to have access to his power. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the exceeding greatness of God's power is working in us. It's the same power that brought Christ out of the tomb on the third day and set him. Not only did the power bring him up, but it set him up. The power brought him out and set him up. Amen? So God's power will bring you out and set you up. Are you ready for God's setup? And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, what does exceeding great power do? It puts you far above. Everybody say far above. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the exceeding greatness of his power, which is in us, which is working, which brings us out and sets us up far above. Everybody say far above one more time. See, God's power, it's far above principality, power, authority, and every name. So think of something that's named. God is above it. Did you know cancer has a name? So that means God is above cancer. That means he can take authority over cancer. Amen? Because cancer is a name. Lack is a name, isn't it? Well, God has authority over lack. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath, right? Now, the Amplified, it really says it. It says the immeasurable and unlimited surpassing greatness. I love adjectives. I'm adjective man. Sometimes I'll tell people, have an awesome, fantastic, outstanding, wonderful, excellent evening. Listen to this now. He's asking what it is. What is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe? Say, I believe. As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So when God raised Christ from the dead, it was like him flexing his muscles. Right? He exerted, when you exert strength, you're flexing your muscles, aren't you? And then he says, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred. That is resurrection power that you and I, as believers in Christ, have access to. Oh, if you leave here sad tonight, we're going to have to pray for you again. Not only in this age and in this world, but also in the... So God's power is for today as well as tomorrow. It's for while we're on earth and when we're not on earth. God never has to call up NASA and say, we have an emergency. I don't know how to get him from one point A to point B. Because there's this power that's operating. And he put all things under his feet. Say, all things are under his feet. Okay. So, this power is immeasurable. Can't be measured. This power is unlimited. It can't be limited. But yet we can limit its operation in us. We limit it. God doesn't limit it. We limit it. This power is surpassing greatness. Think of something great. Well, this surpasses greatness. This power is in and for us. Say it's for me. Say, resurrection power is mine. Okay? This power was showed up in Christ's resurrection. Now, it propelled him to the highest seat in heavenly places. It went like this. So, this resurrection power, it propelled Christ to the highest seat in the heavenly. It's far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and every name that is named. So when you say that the devil is giving me a hard time, how can that possibly be when Jesus has authority over him? The devil does not have the power that Christ does. Christ's power is greater. It far surpasses. The devil can't even touch it. Listen, the devil got kicked out when Jesus went up. Okay. And all things are under his feet, and he is the universal supreme head of the church. Okay? Now, don't cut God's power short. How do we not cut it short? Believe. Let's eliminate a word from our vocabulary right now, okay? Picture as if we had a chalkboard and the word can't, cannot, is on this chalkboard. C-A-N apostrophe T, right? Everybody take your eraser right now and I want you to wipe that word off the chalkboard, all right? Now, it cannot be seen. So guess what? Not only do we eliminate it from the chalkboard, we eliminate it from our vocabulary. We eliminate it from our thoughts, right? Say, I can do all things. Now, you may not know how, but God will show you how. Okay? So we don't want to cut God's power short. We don't want to limit his power in our life. In other words, we want to embrace the exceeding greatness of his power. When you embrace someone, is it like this? No. When you embrace someone, it's close. So you want to embrace God's power. Don't be scared of his power. Embrace it. Welcome it. Expect it. Let it operate in you. Let it work in you. Let it work through you. Okay? How do we embrace it? We believe it. We receive from it. We harness it. Thank God that God has given us the ability to harness his power. How do we harness his power? In the name of Jesus. Jesus is the way that we harness God's power. It is all done through what Christ has done. So it's done through the name of Jesus. That's how we harness God's power. How do you harness a horse? You put a bit in his mouth. And that gives you the control of that horse. You can control the horse with this one little bit that's about as big as my finger. And you can harness God's power simply by using the name of Jesus. And you need to use it. How do you use God's power? Speak to things. Speak to mountains. Tell it to be removed. Speak to organs. Speak to your pocketbook. Speak to dead things. Or speak to things that are above, you know, Jesus spoke to a fig tree and called it dead. And that fig tree said, okay, I'm out of here. It started to dry up that moment. What are we talking about? We're talking about resurrection power. You need to become acquainted with God's power. How do you do that? You recognize it. When you're in a service, can you know what the power of God is about to do? That's becoming acquainted with the power. How do you become acquainted with the power? In your time alone, you pray, you read, you study, you worship. That's how you become acquainted with God's power. You begin to talk to God about his power. You begin to let God's power touch you. You begin to get in his presence. When you get in his presence, you have his power. So you got to become acquainted with the power of God. Okay? Then you need to benefit from it. Did you know that God daily loads us with benefits? How many are claiming all their benefits? If he daily loads us with benefits, would there be some benefits that have been unclaimed? You know, like unclaimed freight. You know, I mean, if they're coming every day, so how do we benefit from it? We let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. He's the one who helps us benefit. He shows us what is ours so that we can lay claim to it. What did he tell Israel? He said, I have given you the land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. Go in and possess it. He had already given it to him, but it was up to them to possess it. How did they possess it? They used his power. And that was before there was even ever a resurrection. But you know what? Since God had the resurrection planned before the creation of the world, resurrection power exists because it's eternal. Mm-mm. So once you recognize it and you benefit from it, then you need to activate it. What does it mean to act? Take the first three letters, A-C-T, act. Faith without works is what? You could say faith without action is dead. So how do we activate the power? We do what God says do. That's how we activate the power. Do what God says do. When did the water of the Jordan dry up and become land? When the priests stuck their foot in the water. The water didn't move until the priest stuck his foot in the water, but the minute he stuck his foot in the water, then the water dried up. He had to take an action before there was ever a demonstration. Action comes before demonstration. Okay, we're going to get into something good. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament chapter 17. There's going to be a correlation here of what Jehoshaphat did. See, let me say this. When Jesus rose from the dead, did he look different? Well, when people first recognized him, could they recognize him? No. He was different. Did he act different? He no longer had to use a door. After he rose from the dead, he could simply walk through walls. That's acting different. You know, if you go from having to open the door to it doesn't matter if there's a door or not, and you can show up, that's acting different. See, now my point is this. We need to take God's resurrection power, and we need to stop living in dead works and doing dead works, and we need to let his power transform us and change us. So essentially, God's power should bring about a change. If we are still doing behavior that we did 10 years ago after being saved for 10 years, you're not taking the power of God and using it in the right way. In other words, when you don't let the power change you, you short circuit the power. And when there's a short in something electrical, it doesn't work. You know, if you got a short in a radio, you know, instead of this is WGOD talking about your atmosphere. See, when the power works right, the message comes clear. But when there's a short circuit, the message doesn't come clear. Okay? Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Now it came to pass. Oh, got to get in 2 Chronicles. All right. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead, strengthened himself against Israel. Now Israel, at this time, every king from Israel was wicked. But the kings of Judah were righteous. So he strengthened himself against wickedness. Be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of his might. So in other words, you've got to strengthen yourself against wickedness. And you've got to promote righteousness in your actions, in your thoughts, and in your words. So this is what Jehoshaphat did. Okay, he strengthened himself against Israel. All right? He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah. He built up fortresses. Amen? Are you building yourself up in the Lord? Bible says, building yourselves up, brethren, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. One way to make yourself strong to set up a fortress is to pray in the Holy Ghost, to pray in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? When you get baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire, he'll cause you to speak in languages that you never studied. And that's one way. There's many ways, but that's one way that you can build yourself up. You can set up a garrison. Okay? I did most of my praying today in tongues. All right? Let's go on. Now look at verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? There was a reason why the Lord was with him. Verse 3 says, because he walked in the first ways. I like how that says that. the first ways of his father David. See, David represented the righteous line. David was a man whose heart was after God. So Jehoshaphat walked in, whenever it says he walked in the ways of David, it's saying that he walked in righteousness. Okay? So was there a reason why the Lord was with him? Because he walked in righteousness. When you walk in righteousness, who's going to be with you? What power is going to be with you? Resurrection power. Okay? What if you don't walk in righteousness? Well, you're short-circuiting the power. If you're wicked, God's power is not going to support the wicked. It supports the righteous. Okay? So he walked in righteousness. All right? It says he sought not the Balaam. In other words, he didn't seek idols. There were three things that Jehoshaphat did. He walked, he sought, and he wrought. All right? What does it mean to sought or seek? He required. He wanted. He required God. He wanted a relationship with God, so he followed God. He did what was right in God's sight, therefore God was with him. How does that relate to us? When God's resurrection power comes in your life, he enables you to walk in the right way. He enables you to go on the right path. He enables you to do the right thing. So now you have to take that power, and you have to do the right thing. You can no longer say, I can't do the right thing, because the power enables you to do the right thing. Remember? That word's not part of your vocabulary anymore. The only way that word applies to someone is the devil. You can't touch me. You can't come here. You can't bother me. You can use that word on the devil. All right? Verse 4, but he sought the Lord God of his father. He walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So he sought the Lord. He practiced the word, which is God's commandments. How does this relate to resurrection power? This is what we're supposed to do with the resurrection power. See, we're supposed to let the resurrection power change us. Husbands, the resurrection power ought to make you the sweetest man on earth. Well, it's silent there. That was a good place for the women to say amen, but women, you got to get awake. Women, the resurrection power ought to make you the virtuous woman. Come on now. Do we have the power or not? If we have the power, then let's stop excusing bad behavior. It's time for excusing the bad behavior to stop. If we have the power. And we have the power, so guess what? Excuses are useless. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Because there's a power that surpasses greatness that's working in you. All right. Let me just sum up the story of Jehoshaphat in this chapter, okay? All right? He was opposite the way of the world. This is Jehoshaphat. When God's resurrection power comes into your life, you're supposed to do something different than how the world does it. Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove. The proof is in the use of the power. What is that perfect, good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Okay? So, as a result of his behavior. Now, this is before Jesus ever rose from the dead. How much more should we live like Jehoshaphat lived now? Okay? You can read this chapter, but the Lord established the kingdom that Jehoshaphat led. See, when you walk with the Lord, God's power is going to establish you. When you establish something, that means it cannot be moved. It's fixed. It's steadfast. It's stable. It can withstand storms. Okay? As a result of the Lord establishing Jehoshaphat, Judah brought Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Everybody say abundance. If you've got surpassing greatness power, then you've got access to abundance. How's the abundance going to come about? By the power. Okay? Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He removed the high places and the groves, which represented idolatry. He got rid of the idols in his life. Okay? If you got an idol, you're going to short circuit God's power. What's an idol? Anything you love more than God. It could be a person, it could be a thing, it could be a position, whatever. Okay? But Jehoshaphat removed these things. In verse 7, he sent out teachers to teach the people. He was in the missions. He actually sent out teachers to go in his kingdom and teach people the word. Okay? So he supported missions. He taught the Bible. And the Lord was with him. Imagine if we start teaching the Bible in our homes. Well, I don't have anybody in my home. Teach it to your pets. Teach it to your cat. Teach it to your dog. I heard, I met this person. He preached at the church I went to in Tulsa. And he was a rancher, so he had a lot of herds of cattle. And God called him into the ministry. So he practiced laying hands on his cattle before he ever had an audience of people. He would lay hands on his cattle, and he would pray. And that's how God used him. He said, God transferred me from the cattle business to the sheep business. Seriously. Okay? Verse 10, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms that were around Judah. That's the power of God. See, when you're walking in the resurrection power, there's going to be a fear and a respect in your atmosphere. Are you guys here tonight? Or have you gone home? All right? Judah's neighbors did not make war with him. That's the power. Did you know that when you have peace with God, you know, when you're walking with God, he'll even make your enemies to be at peace with you? We're going to see another example in the New Testament that resembles this. Okay? Verse 11, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. You know that you're right with God when your enemies start bringing you presents. And the Arabians brought him flocks. And Jehoshaphat became very great, and his kingdom prospered. Now, how does that relate to us? When we are taking the resurrection power, the surpassing greatness power, the unlimited power, the mighty power, and we're taking it and we're letting it operate in our lives, we're going to see the same results. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, turn back the clock a few minutes. Help me to get out when I need to get out, Lord. Okay, verse 41. Acts 2:41. Did you know, if you read the book of Acts, they must have preached just about every message about the resurrection of the Lord. That was their main topic in the New Testament. They were talking about, they talked about the resurrection so much that the civil authority said, don't speak about the resurrection or in that name anymore. You know you're talking about a lot when someone has to tell you to not talk about that anymore. Guess what? The resurrection is a pivotal point. Okay. So then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. So you should not be ashamed that you are a recipient of the resurrection power. So in other words, to not be ashamed of the power means you should live boldly according to the Lord. You should not be ashamed to stand up for what's right, even if it means death or going into a furnace or being killed by the king or being eaten by lions or being hung upside down on a cross. Come on now, the early church were so transformed by the resurrection power that they changed cities. 3,000 people get born again. They had 120 and went to 3,000 in one day. They had 3,120 members in that church in one day. Think about that. This building holds 500 people. Imagine if 3,000 people in Palmyra got saved. Notice verse 42. They continued, everybody say continued, steadfastly, immovable, unshakable. They were steadfast. They didn't mind continuing. In the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and fellowship. They never got tired of teaching. They never got tired of fellowship. They never got tired of breaking bread, and they never got tired of praying. Why? Because they were touched by the resurrection power. Peter, who was touched by the resurrection, who had been baptized with the fire, he got up and spoke, and so powerfully that God took that message, the power infiltrated that message, and it touched people's hearts. They were actually pricked in their hearts, and Peter didn't even have to call them up. They said, "What must we do to be saved?" That's some powerful preaching. Notice verse 43. Fear came upon every soul. See, when you're walking in the resurrection power, it's going to produce a godly fear. That means reverence, respect, and awe for the things of God. Why do the translators use fear? I don't know, but that's what that word means. Whenever it's talking about the fear of God, it's talking about the reverence, the respect, and the honor you have for God. Fear fell on how many souls? Every soul. Man, when you let the power of God infiltrate your heart, let it get into your soul. Let the power touch you deeply. Respond with all your emotions to the power of God. I can remember there were times when I would sit and shake for 45 minutes. When I first got saved, I said, "Jesus, come into my life." Something came in and went like this, whoom. It felt like a wind. It went right in me, and my hands were up, and my hands began to shake, and I ended up on the floor. Because when you come in contact with the power, something's going to give. It's not going to be the power. It might mess your hair up. The power might mess your hair up. So what? You can get a brush and brush it. Just let the power mess you up. Oh, we need some spiritual anesthesiology. What's that? You know when the anesthesiologist puts you out so that the doctor can operate on you? Sometimes God's got to put you out so that he can do a work in you. He's got to suspend your senses. He'll make you senseless so that he can do what he needs to do inside you. I call it spiritual anesthesiology. That happened to Pastor Fiona. She laid on a hard floor in a business suit for over 2 hours one night. She was aware of everything, but she couldn't get up. She was stuck to the floor. See, the power of God is, it's working right now. Question is it working in you? Are you letting it change you? Listen, the tomb went from being full to empty. Jesus' linens were folded. Angels were there. There was a lot of activity. Even the angel said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Okay? And they did many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. That's why I know that a lot of the church today, if signs, wonders, and miracles aren't being done, they're short-circuiting the power. Did you know that there are churches that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power? They say, you can't do that here. They deny the power. They look like they got it all together. They have a form. But it's without power. Who wants a form without power? That's like an empty can. That's like putting a label on an empty can. Just because there's a label on it doesn't mean there's anything in it. I want something in the can. I don't want just a label. I want the experience. I want the encounter. I want the power. God, have your way in me. Say that with me. Say, God, have your way in me. That means that you are not willing to stay the same. That means you are willing to change your way, change your attitude. Yeah, only the power of God can change an attitude. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 3. And let's go down to verse 12. They had just gotten the man healed. And the crowd was kind of going after Peter and John. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel at this? Peter thought that the power, that someone getting healed was normal. He's like, why are you making a big deal? Why are you marveling at this? Why are you surprised? Why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. It was the resurrection power that went into that lame man and caused him to walk. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. He took him by the hand and picked him up, and that man began to walk immediately. It's a resurrection power. And we are witnesses. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, that's where the believing comes in. His name and faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, that was related to the resurrection, wasn't it? And they let that resurrection power go, all right? And go to Acts chapter 2, I mean Acts chapter 4, verse 2. And so they were before the Sadducees, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Obviously, the resurrection from the dead wasn't as popular a message with everybody. There were some people that didn't want to hear about the resurrection. There were some people that didn't want the power to come on them. There were some people that came against the power. They were upset because they were preaching about a resurrection. I got news for you. A resurrection happened, whether you like it or not, and the power of God comes through the resurrection, and we have the surpassing greatness of the resurrection power working in us right now, and I'm going to get all that the power wants me to have. I'm going to live the way the power wants me to live. I'm not going to live like a dead man in a tomb. I'm going to live like a living man who's walking with Jesus, and I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to change my attitude, and I'm going to go after Christ with all my heart. So I'm not, listen, we believe in the resurrection. We're not ashamed of the resurrection. And I'll tell you, Jesus rose from the dead. So they told him not to preach in that name. All right? But you know what? They didn't listen to them, thank God. Sometimes you got to tell people, listen, you don't tell me what to preach or what not to preach. God tells me, amen? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me give you some scriptures about how the power is working within you. All right? Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. You have a treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So what does this power do? We're hard-pressed. Anybody ever been hard-pressed on every side? But notice, since they got the power, they're not crushed. Woo! The devil could be putting the pressure from here, behind you, and in front of you, and he's applying the pressure. He's trying to get you in a headlock. But you know what? You cannot be crushed. The power prevents you from being crushed. Perplexed. Anybody ever been perplexed? What's perplexed? Don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. That's perplexed. But not in despair. You may not know what to do, but just give the Holy Ghost a minute and he'll help you figure it out. Okay? Verse 9. Persecuted. But what? Not abandoned. Guess what? You're not alone. When the persecution start persecuting you, you're not alone because Jesus is right there. He's giving you a standing ovation. Struck down. But what? Not destroyed. Take your best shot, devil. You might knock me down, but even goes to destroy me, I'm getting back up. Why? Because I got the surpassing greatness of his power working in me. You're talking about resurrection power. You're talking about the power that brought Christ from death, that brought him from hell to heaven. Oh, did you know that Christ descended before he ascended? He went into the lower depths. He took on our punishment. He paid our price. But on that third day, that power showed up. Woo! And that power, he shot up out of that tomb. And they just had to open the door just to show that no one was in there. he didn't have to go through the open door. That open door was for the witnesses who went to see the tomb. We always, verse 10, we always carry around where? In our body, the death of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed where? In our body. Yeah, I carry around the death. I carry the cross so that his life may be manifested in me. Did you know that the cross wasn't the final step? The resurrection was. I like what Watchman Nee said. Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. Because when you rise from the dead, you are made new. So in order to benefit from the resurrection, you got to walk in the newness of life. Okay? But can you see that we're carrying around the power in our body? All right? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 28 and 29. Well, verse 28. It says, to this end I labor, struggling with all energy which so powerfully works where? Is that 28? What about 29? 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working which where? Works in you? How? Mightily. Mightily. So it works in you mightily. All right, Lord, which one do you want to go to? Go to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through the prophets and his holy scriptures, verse 3, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, verse 4, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with what? Power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. What are you declaring yourself to be based on the resurrection? Say, I'm alive? Yeah. Say it. Say, I'm alive? Forevermore. You know, you can say that because resurrection power is working in you. Yeah. What happens when you stop breathing on this earth? Do you cease to exist? No, you just change locations. So you got resurrection power working in you right now. And that power is just like him. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I'm just going to take a few more minutes here, all right? Everybody with me? I know you had a hard week so far, but this is refreshing. Say, I'm being refreshed. Romans 8, 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is what? Living in you. When do we have the Holy Spirit in us? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and when we're baptized. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he's living in us, and then we get a different level when we're baptized. Then he says, he who raised Christ from the dead will what? Will quicken. Who's he going to quicken? How's he going to quicken you? With the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Was Sarah's womb dead? But did her womb get quickened? Her dead womb came to life to be able to support a baby that she couldn't do before. Resurrection power. So, I want you to take God's power and I want you to allow it to transform you. Guess what? God's power does not have a time clock. It doesn't punch in and punch out. Okay? It's always working. It's always doing. All right? And I want you all to stretch forth your hands to this group right here. All right? You just lay your hand on your heart. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray over these wonderful people who are here tonight, Father. Lord, I ask you to put your resurrection power. Lord, may your power be released in its fullness and its glory in his body to restore unto health and to strengthen in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that resurrection power is theirs right now, Father. Resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for transferring the power of God into them, quickening their mortal bodies. I call their bodies quickened. I call their bodies alive. I call their mind renewed. I call their bodies working, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. We just touch them. Lord, we pray over them right now in Jesus' name. We release the power of God right now in Jesus' name. The resurrection power of God that's working mightily in you. It's the joy in your heart that no matter what happens out here, you got something on the inside working, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. See, you got to let if you don't let the power of God change you, if you refuse to change, then the power will bypass you. You ever throw a big rock in the water, in a river, in a water that's moving? Does it stop the water or does the water go around the rock? It finds a way around unless it's totally blocked, unless you build a dam. Some of us have a dam. We want to control the power of God. Yeah, Nice try. You're not going to control the power of God. You can just make yourself available to it, and you got to let it work. You got to let it work. The woman with the issue of blood, all she knew that Jesus was the answer. She made her way and she touched it, and immediately, power right there. Virtue. Bible says virtue went out of him. That's power. That's power. I want you to close your eyes for just a minute. And I want you to get a picture of maybe the most powerful image you've seen. All right? And I want you to see that power working in you. You know, whatever kind of the most... When you saw something that exerted a lot of power on this earth, whether it's lightning, whether it's fire, and God's power, which surpasses what you can see right now, is working in you. Resurrection power. All right. Say this. Say, I'm going to be an inlet and an outlet for God's power. I'm letting the power have its way in me. If your body needs to be quickened, you tell your body you are quickened by the power of God. He said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It'll quicken. That's God's word. It will quicken your mortal body. Well, what's your mortal body? He gives power to the faint. He increases strength to them that have no might. He says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Lord, we need your power. We need your power, Father. Your power, you have given us your power. You've given access to your power. Lord, we possess your power, and we let your power possess us in the name of Jesus. No longer will we settle for less. No longer will we live according to dead works. God delivered us from death. There's no living in death. So don't look to try to let the power of God change you. Let it change the way you think. Let it change what you do. Let it change you. Young people, you guys especially, you need the power of God. You know, God touched my life when I was 12 in a powerful way. But you know what? You got to be hungry for things. If you don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're not going to get filled. But you have to develop a hunger. You have to go after it. You have to seek it with all your might. It's what your generation needs. Your generation needs the power of God. It needs the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just need a form of this or a form of that. It needs the power. Father, I ask you to touch the young people tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, touch them with your power. Show yourself strong to them, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, cause a hunger to rise up within them so that they hunger and thirst after you, Father. Change them in the name of Jesus. Oh, touch them. Lord, let every husband who's a husband, let him be a husband by the power of God, not by our own might or our own strength, but let it be done by the power of God. Lord, let every wife be the virtuous woman by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Let them be the helpmeet that they were called to be, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, let every person experience the power to prosper in their lives. Father, it's not based on this economy. It's based on your kingdom. Some of you just need to start. Let's just pray for a minute, all right? Just take a moment and just begin to pray and cry out in the name of Jesus. Tell God how hungry you are for his power. Do it in your own words. I can't do it for you. How desperate are you for God's power? I don't know, but when people are hungry, they verbalize their hunger, don't they? If a hungry person walks into your room, they say, I'm hungry. So verbalize your eagerness to benefit from God's power. Cry out. Hallelujah. Ora basiti alla marosa carabaca sondoroboca sanda. A great price was paid for you to have God's power. So don't treat it lightly. You know, if you're hungry, you sure are quiet. Be the loudest wheel. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Father, I thank you for satisfying his mouth with good things right now. In the name of Jesus, I command his speech to be clear. In the name of Jesus, every vocal cord, every voice box needs to be clear and uninterrupted. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for his heart's cry. I thank you, Lord, for filling him full of your goodness. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, let rivers come, rivers of living water, Father. River, moving water generates power. Hallelujah. Falling down. Anybody need healing in their body? Healing rain. You need to be healed in your body. There's a sickness, a disease, an infirmity healing in your body, and you need to, that to go. Healing Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I just give you thanks and praise. This body I declare to be healed and whole. Be whole according to your faith right now in the name of Jesus. Restore unto her strength and vitality and vigor in the name of Jesus right now. I thank you, Lord, that she is free from all infirmity, all sickness, all disease. And you're not just free, but you're free indeed. Sickness has no entrance into this body, because this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it has the power of God to resist all sickness. Sickness, you are not a welcome guest. You must leave this body. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that in place, you give life, you give strength, you give divine health in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sunday, we're going to celebrate the greatest display of God's power that is still operating right now. We are beneficiaries of the resurrection power. God gave us a resurrection policy. And he put your name in the book. He wrote your name as a beneficiary. If your name's written in heaven, you are a recipient of his life policy. It doesn't pay you in dollar amounts, but it pays you in eternal life. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, Father, I receive this word. I'm never going to be the same. I'm going to do things different. I'm going to do things according to your power. It's not by my might. It's not by my strength. But it's by your Holy Spirit that things will get done. And your will get accomplished in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for giving me a few extra minutes. A lot more I could have said about the power, but I believe that we got what the Lord wanted for tonight. Amen. And have a great, great night. And if you don't have a church home, you're welcome to come and worship with us on Sunday. And my friends at the PNH, thank you so much for coming.